It's a delight to be with you. The last time I was in this venue, a number of years ago, the Vine was meeting here, and my daughter-in-law, Allison Lau, was a part of the worship team who was leading worship that day. So I have a Chinese daughter-in-law. I have three Chinese grandchildren. I have a Chinese son. So I say jokingly that the Chinese are attempting to take over our family. During our time here in Hong Kong, we were exposed to what Pastor Sam just spoke about a few minutes ago, the articles in the South China Morning Post about girls going across the border to Shenzhen for late-term abortion. And at the time, we were a part of the Youth of the Mission community, living up at the old British Military Hospital on Borat Road, number 10 Borat Road. And one of our staff members just brought the article to our attention. And our custom at the time was having 7 o'clock prayer times every morning for 5 days a week with our staff. And it seemed like several consecutive days, whenever we would try to begin to pray, someone would start praying about those girls. And someone needed to step forward and help them. And then we started praying for the babies, and that they were delivering stillborn, or some of them even live born in Shenzhen. Some of the girls were injected with a solution that caused brain damage, but the heart's still beating. The reporter who discovered all of this let us know that there were about 100 girls a day going across the border to Shenzhen, 100 girls a day. And in Hong Kong, through week 12, there was legal abortion. So these were post week 12, and his discovery was that about 40% of the girls going across the border were in their last trimester. So with our modern medicine, we know something could help those kids. And as a result, Mother's Choice was born out of a lot of prayer and a lot of effort by people involved in a number of churches across Hong Kong. So having said that, that's just a little bit of background. But I'd like to talk about this, God's heart for the fatherless. If you have a Bible, does this church actually have Bibles?
Yeah.
Okay. Not pew Bibles, but you have your own personal Bible, right? I'm going to talk about several scriptures out of the book of Psalms. We'll start in Psalm 82. Psalm 82, verses 3 and 4. And I have these on the overhead screen if you want to see it there. Defend the cause of the fatherless, the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. This is one of the scriptures that God really brought to my heart in the midst of what I was describing briefly earlier. Defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain their rights. What are the rights of the fatherless? Are you getting a lot of echo? It's just me. It may be that I've got water on the ear or something. Okay. What are the rights of the fatherless? I think if we went to the UN or UNICEF, part of these would be there. The fatherless, every child has a right to food, to shelter, safe drinking water, right? Education, safety and protection. But what about the right to family? Tomorrow is Global Orphan Day. Are you aware of that? This month is Orphan Month around the world, and tomorrow is Global Orphan Day. And I believe every child has a right to have family. A number of years ago, when after we'd already started Mother's Choice, Suzanne one of our wonderful Chinese social workers, asked me, she worked on our adoption section. She said, "Gary, could you go with me and go meet a young man over on Kowloon City?" I said, "Suzanne, why me?" She said, "You're a dad." I said, "I'm not a social worker." She said, "I know you're not a social worker, but you're a father. I want you to go with me and sit in the interview with me, with Zihim, and tell me if you think he is adoptable." I said, "Suzanne, Cantonese is your first language, English is your second. Adoptable is not a word. I understand what you mean, but it's not a real English word." She said, "But you understand what I mean." I said, "Okay, I'll go with you." So we're in a concrete facility over in Kowloon City, or Kuntong, wherever it was. It was way over there, all right? It was really hot. It was, you know, in the mid to high 30s, okay? High 90% humidity. It was one of those days. You just walked a little ways and you were drenched with sweat. We're sitting in this concrete room. There's a small overhead ceiling fan that's rotating. And the door opens. Suzanne and I are seated. A young man walks in. He's wearing navy blue shorts, white shirt, patch on the pocket, signifying the school he goes to, clip-on tie. You know what I'm talking about, right? School uniform. As he walked into the room, he unclipped the tie, took it off, and threw it up onto the rotating ceiling fan. He walked right past Suzanne, sat beside me, and put his arm around me and started pulling me into his body. We'd never met. Do you understand? He's hugging me like crazy. He's pulling me into his body. He looks up into my face, and he had magic, because he turned some kind of high wattage bulb on behind his eyes and his smile, because he's beaming into my face as he's hugging me. And out of the corner of his mouth, he said in Cantonese to Suzanne, "Is this my daddy?" And then he said to me in English, "Are you my daddy?" This is my first encounter with this young man. I said, "No," and I called him by his name, his Chinese name, "See him. I'm her boss," and I pointed at Suzanne. He said, "Don't you want to be my daddy?" What was I hearing? Beside his voice, what was I hearing? Psalm 10, verses 12, 14, 17, and 18. "Arise, Lord, lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. You, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take in the hand. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families." I think I went too far. Or I left something out of this. Okay? If you'd open your Bibles to Psalm 10. This is the trouble when you have a non-professional making his own PowerPoint. And that was at 4 o'clock this morning. Verse 17. Did I not even put that on there? Okay, verse 17. "You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry." That day with Zihim, what was I hearing? His desire. There are two different levels here that God is referring to. when he says, oh God, you hear their desire and you listen to their cry. The desire is way down deep in the heart. And this young man, see him, is asking me, are you my daddy? And I had to say to him, I said, no, see him, not only am I Suzanne's boss, but I have an adoptive son. And I began to describe to him our son, Lok Chi. Lok means happy, right? Chi means persistent or sometimes stubborn. Okay? Lok Chi was born with no eyes in Queen Mary Hospital. No eyeballs at all. When his parents saw him that way, they abandoned him in hospital. He spent his first year hospitalized 14 times. Day 6, he had major surgery, removing a lot of his large intestine because he got septicemia. He was infected as he's coming through the birth canal. When his parents saw his condition, they said, we can't care for this child. The second year of his life, he was living at Caritas, and a reception center for abandoned children. At Caritas, he was in a ward with mentally handicapped children, 40 in a room about half the size of this auditorium, who just screamed all day long. When Lok Chi came to Mother's Choice, we brought him into a small group home with about 6 children in it, another blind child, one or two autistic children, and a couple of Down's children. So it was a great mix. Trouble is, some of the kids couldn't see or they couldn't take care of their own bodies very well. They would sit on Lok Chi. Well, he was tactile defensive. You touch him, he would scream. He would scream all day long. Okay? So I'm telling him some stories about Lok Chi, that now he's progressing, he's getting better. Okay, he's still nonverbal, but he wears prosthetic eyes so that when we go out, it looks like he's got sight. We were at a church on Repulse Bay, and one day a lady walks up to us after the service, and she's engaging Lok Chi in conversation. I said, ma'am, he doesn't speak. She said, well, he's looking right at me. I said, well, he's not really looking right at you. He's blind. She hit me. The lady hit me because I was being so disrespectful of my son, telling her he was blind. Okay? We're at an eye doctor's down here in Central. And we're having an appointment for him, not for his eyes, but for his eye sockets. Okay? The eyes themselves were glass or plastic. Okay? So there's a Western lady in her 60s, sitting beside me, and she's looking at Lok Chi, and she's talking to him, and I said, ma'am, he doesn't speak. Well, she says, well, he's looking right at me. I said, well, he's not really. He's blind. And she gave me a really dirty look, okay? And about 5 minutes later, Lok Chi did this, and he took his left eye out and just threw it out in the middle of the room. So I'm telling him this, and I said, we're riding an escalator in Pacific Place. We're going down. And Lok Chi took his eye out and just threw it out on the escalator, and it's, you know, bouncing down the stainless steel escalator. And he'd take it out and roll it across a concrete floor at church. And so I'm telling him all these stories. All the time I'm telling him, see him's got his arm around me, still squeezing me. And when I finished telling him stories, I'm not going to tell that story because it involves a toilet and him standing in front of it. And you know where the eye went, right? So I won't tell you that one, okay? But getting on an airplane to fly to America, when we go through the jetway and onto the plane, both eyes are in. 8 rows back, both eyes are gone. And Helen is taking care. She's going to ask the flight attendants, could you please look around your seat and down on the floor and see if you could find an eye or two, okay? But fortunately, she was able to find them herself. So I'm telling him these stories, trying to lighten the mood, okay? Because it's pretty intense when he's asking me, are you my daddy? When I finish, he said to me, don't you want another. What was I hearing, friends? The heart cry of every orphan around the world. I want a mommy or a daddy. I don't care what they look like. I just want a mommy or a daddy. And God's committed to the fatherless. Psalm 68, 5 and 6. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in family. That means God puts the lonely into families. My mother and my father were married 52 years before my father passed away. Mom outlived him more than 10 years. And I had several conversations with Mom during her widowhood. She said, "Honey, there's not a day that goes past that I don't think of your dad. I have such fond memories of your dad." You see what she had? She had a lifetime of memories of dad. This says he's a defender of widows. God sets the lonely in families. I believe an orphan or a fatherless child is more lonely even than a widow, because they have their reservoir of memories to think back on. But God wants to put the lonely in families. How are we doing for time?
We're good.
How much more time do we have? Because I may start preaching soon. 4 or 5?
45 minutes.
More?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Huh? I really like you. How does this mic work? Can I walk back there and it still use work okay? No feedback?
Yeah, see.
Huh?
We'll see.
I'm 66 years old. How is that? Okay. This is much better. Are we still okay sound-wise?
Yep.
Okay. It was late at night in Nanning, China. You know where Nanning is? Okay. Capital of Guangxi. Right? Yes. It's a pretty big city. All right. Three young men walk into a public toilet. You know what public toilets in China are like, right? Just downgrade public toilets in Hong Kong 10 times and you'll have what they're like in China, all right? Concrete floor, a hole in the floor. That's concrete. Nice to see you. We've met before, haven't we? Huh? You don't think? Okay. Never mind. Hole in the floor. The young men, it's 11 o'clock at night, almost midnight, okay? They do their business, and as they're finishing toileting themselves, they hear the cry of an infant. And they say to each other, "Wait a minute. That baby's cry is not over the wall on the other side of the women's side. That's on this side." So they started looking around, and they looked down through the hole, and they saw baby's limbs moving in the human waste. One of them reached down through the hole, grabbed the baby's limbs, pulled the baby out from the human waste. Another one ripped his shirt off, wrapped it around the baby, and they ran outside the public toilet, the bathroom. There was a group of taxi drivers talking. All their taxis were parked. This is 20 years ago. Okay, plus or minus, okay? Not a lot of people going anywhere late at night in Nanning. And the young men said to the taxi drivers, "Where can we take this baby?" And one of the taxi drivers pointed at his cab and he said, "Get in that car." He ran to his car and they started driving through the streets of Nanning and arrived at the doors of Mother's Love, an orphanage we opened in Nanning in partnership with the Social Welfare Department of Guangxi. They started rapping on the door. One of our young ladies from Hong Kong, Yuk Ling, who lives on the other side of Hong Kong Island, it's where she was raised, okay, ran downstairs, unlocked the door. They said, here. She took the infant, ran upstairs while someone else is finding out their names, their telephone numbers, etc. She took the baby into the bathing room, started watching. She had a full head of hair. Full head of hair. Only a few hours old. Used suction cups on her nose, on her mouth, got things out of all of her ears. Bathed her three times, shampooed her hair three times that night just to get the smell off of her. Wrapped her tightly, started feeding her formula, and for the next about 48 hours, she was inseparable from this little girl. They gave her the name, when translated from Chinese into English, means celebrating grace, baby Grace. Baby Grace thrived. She grew strong. Her name and all of her medical records were sent to Beijing. Beijing sent her information overseas. A family from the Midwest of the United States said, we want to come adopt baby Grace. So about 18 months after she was discovered, a family came to Nanning to collect baby Grace. As the family was departing Hong Kong, a telephone call was made from our orphanage director to those young men, letting them know that family was departing. They went to the airport, these three young men, who found her to say goodbye to baby Grace. Now, when they were in that public toilet late at night, what did they hear? They heard her cry. What does Psalm 10 tell us? God hears the cry. He listens to their cry, and he hears their desire. Friends, I'm convinced it's the heart cry of every orphan in the world. I just want a mommy and a daddy. At that same orphanage in China, Mother's Love, we were being referred babies from other parts of the province. And they brought us a little baby girl who had purple bluish digits. Her fingers, both hands, and her feet were purple and blue in color. Her name is Sibe. Okay? The reason her fingers and toes were purple and blue is because she had a number of holes in her heart, so she was not getting proper circulation. They did x-rays. We actually got the x-rays sent in to Hong Kong to cardiologists, and they said it's probably too advanced for us to do something here. Sibe watched many children get adopted from Mother's Love. She grew into a toddler, so she's 18 to 20 months old. She's walking around things, holding them. Even though they were purplish blue in color, she still had normal strength, so, and she's got language. Her health information, her child study, was sent to Beijing. Beijing sent it overseas to adoption agencies. An agency in the southwest of the U.S. gave it to a family, David and Martha James. They had some discussion overnight. Should we adopt Sibe? They were a believing family. They got in touch with God and felt like God had given them an indication, yes, you should adopt Sibe. They contacted their agency, who contacted Beijing, who contacted Mother's Love. Now, this did not happen in 5 minutes, okay? It took days and weeks. But the word came down from Beijing to Mother's Love in Nanning, Sibe has a family. And they told, our staff told Sibe, you have a mommy and a daddy who are coming to get you. They live in America, they're going to come and get you. That night, Sibe died. How did she die? Can you stand up for a second? Huh? May I hug you? May I?
Sure.
Okay. How did Sabe die?
God's arms.
Belonging. She understood. Thank you. She understood. Someone wants me. So when the James family in Beijing were notified that Sabe had passed, Beijing quickly made arrangements for that family to receive another child from mother's love in Nanning. When they came, they asked, could we meet with the staff who cared for our little girl, Sabe? They made a donation that would enable us to have little marble crosses and pictures of children that died at mother's love and our own little memorial park to remember the children, okay? God put Sabe in the James family. Do you need any more stories to be convinced that God's heart for the fatherless is enormous and he wants us to engage? Hello? My wife and I have 4 biological children, ages 40 to 20. Wait a minute, 40 to 30. We raised our kids here in Hong Kong. All right? Our eldest had already gone to university. Our second one's ready to go to university when Helen and I decide we thought we're going to foster Lok Chi. Our social worker said if somebody doesn't foster him, his chance of adoption is almost zero. Okay? So we fostered him for a year. I was overseas on a missionary trip to Hawaii. That sounds like real tough duty, right? And I was in this gathering speaking to a bunch of significant donors to a university, and it's a Christian university, actually University of the Nations. And we were having a moment of quiet chapel, meditating on a cross at the front of the room, and there's Baroque classical Christian music playing in the background. It's very high church. Do you know what high church means? It means not Solomon's Porch Church. You understand what I mean? I'm trying to say this as a joke. Very high spiritual event, okay? We're supposed to just meditate and ask God, is there anything you want to say to me? That's not my background, okay? I'm a little bit more like this, all right? And as I'm meditating on the cross, I feel like I hear a voice in my ear saying, I want you to change Lok Chi's status from foster son to son. I came home and told Helen. She said, finally. Okay. Finally you got there. Okay. So we adopted this nonverbal boy. I'm going to go around to get back up there. He was tactile defensive, okay? He would rage for 4 or 5 hours a day. He was tough. We could only feed him one thing, congee that had the rice, vegetable, and fish in it 3 times a day. He was awake hours every night. His bed was right adjacent to, it was a little sitting room off of the master bedroom in our apartment here at Mother's Choice. Helen and I didn't know it, but we were sleep deprived for 5 years. We didn't discover this until later. Okay? Can you see that picture? That was taken about 6 or 7 weeks ago. That's Jacob Lockchi with his mother, my wife Helen. He loves to ride ATVs out in the wind. He likes it about 25 miles an hour, 40 kilometers an hour with the wind blowing into his face. And I feel like he's almost worshiping on the back of the ATV because he's got his hands up in the air like this, and he takes his hat off and he passes it hand to hand and puts it behind his back and then is under his shirt, and then he gets it back on his head and then it's back over. But he's doing all of these actions with his hands way up in the air. He's still nonverbal. He can say about 10 words. Dad, mom, no, more, yeah. Maybe 6 words, okay? But he's got inflection, intonation, and cadence. So every Saturday, I give him a haircut, okay? Give him a haircut. After a haircut, what would you like to do? Hot tub. After the hot tub, where would you like to go? Starbucks. What would you like to get? Decaf mocha frappuccino with soy. See, he's got his own language. He taught me a new language. It's not like any other language in the world. It's Lockchi speak, okay? This was this summer. Without his eyes in. We would not let him wear those eyes when he's going water skiing because the eyes cost $5,000 each. Okay, they're custom fit to his face. He can still take one of them out. And we've searched the garage, the laundry room, underneath the bed, all over to find it many, many times. He can't take the other one out. Thank the Lord. Okay? We've got them insured, all right? And Medicaid paid for them, okay? Here's this nonverbal boy water skiing solo. That's a sit ski, but he's still water skiing. Huh? What else do you like to do? Where do you like to go, Jacob? Telluride. If you're familiar with skiing areas in America, Telluride, it's one of the finest ski areas. That's him in the middle, wearing the sign, blind skier. They tried to give us a bib that says visually impaired. I said, we want the one that says blind skier. We're not being politically correct calling him visually impaired. There is no vision, so he's blind. So I'm the one on his right. That's my wife's cousin on the left. I ski beside him. Actually, I'll ski on his right side with about 3 fingers, the thumb and 2 fingers. I'll hold his elbow very gently, not tightly, and I'll call out the turns. Left-hand turn, hold that turn, hold that turn, hold that turn. We're skiing down the mountain, okay? One day, he and I made 23 runs in 4 hours. Just killed me. I'm skiing with him by myself. And he's getting worn out. He's getting tired. And every time we would make a left-hand turn, he would fall. So we're making a left-hand turn, coming down a pretty steep run. It was an intermediate run. And as he fell, he grabbed my shoulder and gave it a tug. He was just trying to hold on, but I'm wearing a backpack with 3 thermoses in it that we'd had lunch way up on the mountain. I was trying to keep his blood sugar up by giving him food and all of this while we're skiing, okay? It's all back here now, and as he jerked me, I went over the top of him, fell with my head downhill on the backpack, concussed. I got up. The world's moving like this. I'm saying, Jacob, come on, you got to get up. He doesn't want to sit up. A few minutes later, we hear a snowmobile. It's very similar to an ATV, four-wheeler. Someone had called the ski patrol and said, there's a really old guy up there with a blind Chinese boy laying in the snow wearing big orange bibs, okay? They drove up on the snowmobile, a girl, and she says, hi, you need some help? He jumped up, got on the snowmobile with her, and rode down, leaving me to pick up his skis and carry them down to where we needed to go, all right? See him's question to me of, don't you want another? And at the time, we couldn't take another. Our hands were full with our son. Our hands are still full. Okay? See him was adopted. He went to the United States, was an absolute wonderful athlete and scholar, has attended the White House, was invited to visit the White House with his school, because of his academics. He's come back to visit Mother's Choice. Were you here when he came back 2 years ago? No. Okay, what's the takeaway for us? Did I tear it up? Okay. What's the takeaway for us? Can I be presumptuous and offer to pray for you? Would you allow me to pray for you?
Yes.
And if you agree with my prayer, I want you to say amen after it, okay? Father, you know my circumstances. You're intimately acquainted with me. If there is something that you are wanting to do in my heart and my life with the fatherless, you are welcome to do anything you desire and design in my life. I don't know what that means right now, but I trust you, and I know that you would only ask something of me that would help me be a better person and be more like you. So whatever you would like to say to me, you're free to do so. And I pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. So if you mean that, you say amen. Okay? He has this great compassion for every fatherless child. He hears their cry. He hears their desire. And he wants to put a stop to the pain that's generating the cry in their heart. He wants to provide family for every child. We sang earlier with the children when they were in here, Jesus loves me. You think that's true of us as Christians and our kids? What about every fatherless child in the world? Wouldn't those words be true for them too? Jesus loves me. He does love me, and he wants to do something about my pain and my loneliness. James 1 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, What do you think God had in mind when he said to look after orphans and widows? You think he intended institutions? You know, Mother's Choice runs a great institution. But we believe we're only temporary care. I believe what God had in his mind when he's inspiring James to write that. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless to care for orphans. I believe what he's wanting us to say is open your hearts to the orphans of the world. That's a passion that impacts my life on a daily basis. Here's my blind son, nonverbal son. Now, I understand them. There are accolades that have been, conferred on me. I was given an honorary doctorate by the University of Hong Kong for our work with Mother's Choice. I was recognized in 2002 as Leader of the Year in Hong Kong in the human services area. Big deal. 6 weeks later, I had a stroke, and we moved to America to recover. Guess what the greatest award I have in my life is? Being Jacob Lockjee's father. He's blind and nonverbal. What can he say? I have FaceTime on my iPad with him. How does that work? He can't see. He puts his hand behind the iPad and holds it up against his ear like he would a telephone. Having FaceTime, I'm seeing his whiskers right here. You know, and I'm seeing his throat moving as he's talking. Duh? Dad? Yeah? And I rehearsed to him what he did today in America. Yeah? 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 And then he'll engage me in his favorite joke with me. He will name something that he no longer does to see if I'm paying attention. Okay? There's really not a day that goes by that this boy doesn't bring great joy to this father's heart. And I hope I'm bringing joy to him. But I know that if I ever need a skin graft, we can use his skin because he wants to be that close to me. Did you get that? That was pretty profound. Okay? Are you ready for a benediction? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you. And may the Lord confirm in your heart what he is speaking to you today. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Gary. Okay. That's awesome.
Thanks.
If you notice, when you go in the back, you're dismissed in a moment, but Gary has written a book on particularly this topic, and they're on sale in the back. And there's also some flyers in the back as well if you'd like some more information. And so be dismissed. May God be with you as you go off into your week. And please get a book. And if you want to come up and have a word with Gary, you can more than welcome to do that.
I'll actually go back out
there. Okay, he'll be back there.
And anyone who wants a book, I'll sign it for you, and I'll try to say something appropriate.